So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Okay?
Well, listen here.
Hi, I'm Miss H.
And I'm obviously Mr. O.
And we're here to talk about Love is Blind, episode 3.
Yes, episode 3. This is when we finally get out of the pods and we get to Mexico.
Right. And the premise is that people don't know that they're all in Mexico together. Mm-hmm. So they think it's just them. But that doesn't come into play in this episode.
No, and I can only think of one group that that's going to come into play with. Like, everybody else doesn't care.
Yeah, they don't care. They don't give a crap. All right, let's go ahead and start off with one of the couples that still haven't seen each other. Because at this point, I think we have two couples that haven't seen each other.
Yes. Yeah, no, three. It's, no.
Three?
Four. Four? I don't know. I'm going to start with mine because I'm going to start with Damien and Giannina because that's where we cut off the last episode.
Yes.
Right. So that's where we cut. That's where we start this one. So the show does pick up right from the cliffhanger from last week. Damien has given his convoluted box analogy to propose to Giannina, and Giannina has something to tell him. What she tells him is that she doesn't believe in rules. And since she is just as strong as he is, she can be the one to propose too. And so she does. She gets down on one knee and asks Damien to marry him. Damien is relieved that this is what she had to say, because that is a goddamn nerve-wracking thing to do to somebody when they're proposing.
True.
So Giannina is excited that they're engaged, and in the interview strangely says that being engaged to someone she's never met is actually right in her wheelhouse. It fits right in with her. It's so her, is what she says. Then we come to the reveal where an underdressed Damien clearly is impressive to Giannina, who turns around and laughs disbelief when the doors open. They run at each other and hug and kiss until he finally does give her that bow that he had on his wrist instead of a ring. You know, the dick in the box bow.
Right. Dick in the box.
Which she then puts on her neck. Damien says that Giannina took his breath away, and she's different, but different can be fucking beautiful. And then he cutely apologizes for dropping an F-bomb. Giannina is happy that she finally has somebody that she's connected with and whom she can take her emotional wall down. That's the last we see of them in the reveal, and then we see them get to Cancun. When we get to Cancun, Giannina is extremely horny for Damien. She talks about how eager she is to explore him in the interviews, and during a dinner with them, she tells him exactly how many days it's been since the last time she's had sex, because she has been keeping a very steady count. Damien, in the interviews before this, says some stuff about wanting to make the physical and emotional connections. I don't know that everybody used this thing about physical and emotion connections that Damien just went with and said kind of blah, 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 just to say something. But that was before he realized how down Giannina would be to have sex. So they cut their dinner short and they kick out the camera crew. So I'm going to jump back. That's the last we see of him. I'm going to jump all the way back to their proposal. And my question to you is, why?
I had the same question. So I came up with, okay, so I'm assuming you're referring to why is it that she felt a need to have to propose to him?
Yes.
Okay, because I thought that was really weird too. The only thing that I could kind of come up with is for like the appearance of it. She's trying to promote feminism. She doesn't want it to look like he's controlling her. And then my last maybe was drama, because she wanted to make it look like she was going to say no when obviously she said yes. But yes, I could not understand why it makes a difference at that point.
I totally understand where it's like, hey, I think a woman should be able to propose to a man. I'm down with that.
Right.
Totally
but
cool.
But he already proposed
to you.
So
it. Yeah.
Yes. Agreed. So I don't know. It just seems like such a power play to me, too. It's like she wants to show that she wears the pants in the relationship.
Yeah.
But then she says she wants them to be equals. And it's just like, I don't know. That's just not the nature of asking a question. Someone has to be the asker and someone has to be like the answerer.
Right. Yeah. I just and the way she said it, I mean, the way she said, I have something I want to say. And there's a reason they cut that in the cliffhanger, because the way she said that, it sounded like the next word she's going to say was, I'm already married. Like, that's the kind of way she said it. It was like, There's something terrible here. What's going on?
I don't know. Maybe she's just into the drama, because I thought it was kind of weird how when they first see each other, how she like literally turned her back to him almost immediately. And you couldn't really see the expression on her face, but you could have very easily interpreted that as like disappointment. Run away. Like, right. Get me away from this guy.
Oh, God.
And then she like takes a couple steps like in the opposite direction of Damien, and then she turns around and runs to him. And I was like, what was the point of that?
Runs. She was the one of the few that ran.
Yes. Yeah. And she ran very well for being in
heels. She did, for being in heels. And I think she even jumped into his arms. Like, it was it was a full-on run. It was like an enthusiastic one. But yes, I would be concerned if at the reveal it was laughing and turning your back to me. I'd be like, oh.
Yeah, like, oh, God, do I look funny?
Oh, jeez, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe she's just trying to build the drama. I don't know if maybe she was prodded. I feel like we're kind of jaded from, you know, Matt Sharp Productions.
Sure.
Where it seems like everything is staged and, like, everything is, like, fabricated drama. But it kind of felt that way a little bit. Like, you know, how can she kind of make this look somewhat ambiguous where the audience would be like, wait, what is she really feeling? Is she into him or is she not into him?
Yeah. So, I mean, my personal thing is I still think everybody in this show was waiting to see, is this a stunt show where they pair me with an ugly person?
Yeah, I definitely felt like maybe she was skeptical. She, like, literally grabbed his face to, like, inspect it like he was an animal. You know, it's like where, you know, you're at the dog show and they grab their faces to look at their teeth or something. It was like that, where she just, like, grabs his face.
This is and he's like, face. What? Yes, this is
right. He's like, wait, what's happening? And I feel bad for him, too, because it sounds like he's a little insecure about his looks. Mm-hmm. And so I think, like, he was a little bit fearful that he was going to be rejected every single time she's trying to fabricate this weird drama.
Yeah, and I don't know. It just seemed weird. So the two big things was that one and the exactly 435 days. And on day 372, I did this. Like, who does that?
Oh, let's talk about what she did. I was like, that's just weird.
Oh, right.
She went in the ocean so she could get her ass slapped by the waves. And I was like, that is very odd. I've never heard of anybody doing that. Seems really weird.
It seems very weird because I've, you know,
that's having not the same.
It's not the same. Yeah, having your ass slapped by waves is not like a hand at all.
No, I feel like she was making that up.
She was.
Just for like shock value.
But
you
it was like, yeah, was I mean, we've seen people in lots of other shows. We could take them to stores where they go shopping and she can find all kinds of stuff that she can get instead of a.
Right. Oh, gosh.
Stay in the ocean.
Yep. Go to the sex store, sweetie. Like, that would be a lot more productive than going into the ocean. I don't know. But that's really odd.
It's definitely something that if, again, because, you know, I've said this before, every person on the show is an attractive person physically, right? Is if a guy says that, it would be creepy. If a guy knows exactly how many days it's been,
like, you're like, he even asked her.
Yo.
And she couldn't answer. Like, how do you know how many days it's been? She's like, oh, you know. It's like, do you?
No, you don't. Unless there's something else wrapped up in that. And because I keep track of, well, I don't even know how many days we've been in quarantine. I'm not keeping track of that. I know it's been a few weeks, right?
But maybe you would be a little bit more aware of it if it was like, oh, the last time I had sex was like on my birthday. And so you're like, okay, so that's 365 days. But it wasn't. It was some random number, like 424 or something like that.
It makes sense to me to know the last date that you had sex because you're like, oh, yeah, it was a significant day for other reasons. And I remember that.
Right.
Right.
Or maybe it was the day that we broke up. And for some reason, you remember that.
Yeah. But like.
Yeah.
To know, like how many days it's been since then?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Right. But a lot of things she said, like, were kind of weird. Like, she calls their relationship, like, Benjamin Button because they're working backwards. And it's like, that's a really bad analogy because I'm pretty sure you're working back to the birth? I don't know.
Yeah.
But analogy doesn't hold. It was just very odd.
I mean, it doesn't hold, A, and B, it... I don't know. It's not sexy because when you say Benjamin Button to me, I think Brad Pitt and old person makeup. And I was like, that's not.
Yeah.
Ew. No. I don't.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I just feel like the whole time she says kind of weird things because she's seems drunk.
Yes. That was a common theme. I feel like they are pumping these rooms with plenty of liquor. They are plying them 100%
heavily. These are all-inclusive resorts, especially because you're in Cancun. Mm-hmm. Like, there is unlimited alcohol. Production doesn't even have to, like, spring for it. It's just, like, it's in your room. Like, they, you know, if you've been to an all-inclusive resort, like, in Mexico, mm-hmm. you totally have a stocked mini fridge of beers along with usually a dispenser of, like, four kinds of hard alcohols.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, and I'm sure they do the thing, I've noticed with the champagne, that at least a good way to keep me drunk is to not actually let me finish any glasses. And so it
oh,
is.
Oh, yeah, because you can't keep track.
Yes.
That's dangerous.
You have no idea how much I've been to, like, a dinner like that. I was like, I don't like this. Stop filling my glass before I'm done. I don't know how much I've drank.
Yeah. The only time that I can recall me being, like, so drunk where I, you know, I don't want to say blacked out, but definitely was like, oh, you said this. And I was like, I don't remember saying that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's very unlike me. But it was when I went to, like, a bottomless brunch, Sunday brunch or something. And they were aggressive. Like, you drank half of your glass and they were there to, like, pour it immediately. And so it's like, I had no idea how much champagne I drank.
Exactly.
I had no idea.
I can't handle that. So I'm sure they're doing the same thing. I'm sure they're making sure those glasses stay full. Because this was not the only person. You're right. I agree. She seemed pretty drunk. And
yeah, it was kind of embarrassing and kind of cringy because he just, I know he was into it, but I think, like, he was a little bit more aware of how this might look on camera. Mm-hmm. So he was trying to act a little, I don't want to say more classy, but maybe more coy about it. And
right.
She was just like, outright, me, I'm dessert. And it's just like,
camera crew that way, bed over here.
Right. He was like, then it was kind of funny that they showed him just eating dessert by himself. Uh-huh. He's like, I don't know, maybe it was her dessert. And it kind of made it seem like he wasn't into it. But it's like, I feel like he was into it. It was just, he was embarrassed.
Yes. Yeah. He definitely was into it. That part was pretty funny too. Because he was eating the dessert and was like, oh, wait, I hope this isn't hers. I was like, yeah.
Okay. Oh, goodness.
All right. So who do you got first?
Okay, so I think we had the other couple that didn't see each other before was Amber and Barnett. So Barnett really wants to be married, but he's scared of making the wrong decision. So he's talking with Mark, and Mark tells him off for leading the other women on and how that affects the other men, like him. Mark advises him to accept that there's going to be conflict, make a decision, don't question your judgment, and move forward. Amber is unsure because she sees how Barnett acts around the other women, and even though she's mostly confident she's, quote, winning, she does have seeds of doubt. Elsie, on the other hand, also feels like she's, quote, winning, and because she's trying to avoid the awkwardness, she is distancing herself from Amber. Barnett considers himself lucky that both women are into him when he is clueless. Hey, he's the one who said it. So he's concerned that Amber's intenseness could burn out, and he is considered... he has considered no one as a choice. Barnett tells Elsie that he has to follow his heart, and it's not leading him to her. She understandably gets upset and tells him that it's not fair what he did to her. She's pretty calm and tells him that if it's her real feelings and he's not the person she thought he was. And she tells him she's walking out the door. Elsie laments that men never take her seriously. Barnett tells Amber that she makes him feel this burning fire in his heart, and then just jumps into a will you marry me. She looks like she's crying and laughing, but says yes. He tells her that he will never make her doubt how he feels. He says that he will guarantee to stress her out, but that's okay because he's going to be the happiest man in the world. Amber views her relationship with Barnett as a win because he refused to let her love him, but then he did. They see each other and she can't stop saying hi to him. She gives him a ring immediately. Amber gushes on about how he irks her nerves, but loves him so much, and she thinks he's hot. He gives her a ring very nonchalantly. Amber is so excited to be engaged, and she can't stop looking at her ring. She tells him he's irritating and says that he's put her through the ringer. Amber is looking forward to their trip together and says that production is not allowed to be in their room at all. Okay, so we have the situation where Barnett kind of was deciding between two women. Mm-hmm. And in the end, I believe he picked Amber because she was just more intense. But I don't know. How do men really interpret intense women? Like, what does that mean to you if you have someone who's really intense?
I don't know, because I stay away from intense women. I can't.
Right. Because I... Okay, so exactly. I would kind of think that would be a turnoff.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you... Like, what kinds of conclusions would you draw from if you were, like, you know, dating an intense woman?
I don't know. I mean, Amber and intense women in general, but Amber definitely seems like the kind of woman that would key your car. Like, she...
Right.
Yes. I'm like... Yeah. This is...
Like, she'll cut a bitch if things go south.
Yes. And I'm like, why? I don't... understand. I think, you know, it's like what they see is, instead of intensity, they see passion, right? And
okay. That's
kind of like, especially if you're doing all this for me and you're so into me. And, you know, just like anything else, if you're really into her, you see everything through rose-colored glasses and you don't see – you don't exactly see, like I said, intensity. You see someone who is equally as into you as you are into them, and this is going to be fun. Mm-hmm. It's going to be exciting because there's lots of energy here. I think you just couldn't see past that energy that was there.
Yeah, because I can't really understand what it is, like, about that situation that really makes him want to be with Amber, other than, I guess, one thing is that she seems to be so decisive and seems to really know that she wants to be with him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's where that intensity comes from. And he is really indecisive. So I think in a weird way, it does make it work. Because if he's like, you know, he's a little skittish. And if he's with someone like LC, who seems to be way more laid back. And let's say, like, you know, 3 months from now, he's like, you know, like, did I make the right choice, or feeling unsure? And he's with someone who's a little bit more laid back. Like, she would be like, well, you know, like, I can't make you love me.
Right.
So, you know, maybe we should just walk away. Whereas Amber's like, oh, hell no, you're not leaving me.
Yeah.
We are in this.
Yeah. And that's what you're looking for. The phrase is ride or die, right? And it's like, sometimes people are ride or die. People imagine them, you know, riding with them and staying with them and doing exactly that. Like, not letting you quit
them,
on them.
That's how they die.
Right. But then there's the die part. And everybody forgets about the die part. They just remember the ride part. Like, because they might ride you right into a brick wall, and that would not be okay. That would be bad.
Yeah. But in a weird way, because she's so decisive and he's not, I do feel like it weirdly works, at least for now, because I feel like I've been kind of in similar-ish relationships where I feel like I was the one who decided, no, I'm not going to let you break up with me. We're going to be in a relationship.
Uh-huh.
And they just kind of like went along with it, you know? And yes, it lasted a really long time, but, you know, it takes a while to kind of realize that, you know, Barnett, you know, maybe he realizes later down, like years from now, like, wait a second, like, I don't want to be with this person. And she's been continuously saying, I don't care what you want. We're going to be together. And maybe at some point in the future, he kind of finally stands up to her.
Yeah, I feel like it burns you out. Like, you're right.
Yeah.
In that with Barnett, I think the best thing about Amber to him was he was having trouble making decisions. Mm-hmm. And she was somebody that made a decision for him. And that's what he's looking, that's what he's looking for. Someone who's just going to make decisions for me so I don't have to make decisions. And that's where she is. But, like, eventually you can burn out on that, or, you know, evaluate your life and being like, wait, those were all terrible decisions. I don't want to be here at all. This is
– Yeah.
And so it kind of works until it blows up. Like, I don't think it's one of those – like, in a relationship with a laid-back person like LC, that can fizzle out. But this relationship, if it ends with a bang.
Yeah. Let's talk about LC for a second, because I felt really, really bad for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like part of it is that I feel like I was her at some point. You know, it's like, okay, so the things that I felt really bad about specifically was that she says, like, she's taking this experience and kind of making, like, drawing a lot of conclusions and saying that she feels like she's unlovable and she doesn't know why men don't take her seriously. And I feel like I've struggled with that a lot, where I kind of feel like, why is it that no one kind of takes me seriously, like, in terms of, you know, wanting to be in it for the long haul? But, you know, kind of looking at this situation, I kind of realize, you know, maybe some things that you're giving off, like some vibes you're giving off without really realizing it.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing is that Barnett even said she's a fun girl. She has a lot of interests, and she's just super fun. And if you're leading kind of with this fun, it's, you know, and another thing is that you don't, and I mean, I've done this before. It's like I'm scared to bring up anything serious because I'm afraid it will scare off guys who don't want a commitment. Mm-hmm. So you kind of present yourself as kind of this, like, I'm the fun girlfriend, you know, like you can have super fun with me. I have a lot of diverse interests, you know, like we will always have a good time together. And maybe guys, like, you know, they just see you as fun and they don't take it seriously. And you're not putting that out there because you're afraid of scaring them away.
Yeah, I could believe that. Because that like post interview after her last pod with Barnett, that was one of the most raw things I've seen in TV, like a lot. Like that was very raw, very like, I really did feel for her in that. But because the phrase she said was, how the fuck are guys never sure about me? And that's what it seems like. She's just, I think you're right. I think you can kind of sense that she's putting up a facade or a mask, and that she's like, you know, you don't get to know the real LC. And so, okay, well, you don't want me to know the real LC, then like, you're clearly not serious about this relationship. You're not clearly not seriously trying to get to know the real me or anything. But I don't know, because it was hard for me because I was like, I would clearly pick LC 100 times out of 100. Yeah. Like, why? I don't understand. I don't understand either. Sorry, I don't know what to tell you, lady. Like,
right. Because she's a fun girl. But I mean, when you say you don't think that we really saw the real LC, I think you did see the real LC. But like I said, I feel like I really relate to her in a lot of ways because I've done this myself.
Right.
But
I think we saw her there. I don't think Barnett necessarily saw the real LC.
No, but I mean, I think he did, with the exception of she probably didn't bring up, like, I don't even recall hearing anything of her saying, like, when we're married, you know, because it's almost like you don't want to bring up something serious because you're scared that, you know, if they're not there, that by you bringing up something that kind of resembles commitment, that all of a sudden they'll be like, oh my gosh, and get all skittish and run away. And so it's like, I've been guilty of that where I don't bring up, like, you know, it's been a while. Like, we've been dating for 3 months. We should probably have the talk of where, you know, what's happening. Yeah, what are we doing? Going
with this, right?
But it's like, but I won't, you know? Uh-huh. And so if I don't bring it up, you know, the person I'm dating probably isn't going to bring it up either, because if they're going to get away with like having it casual, if they can, they probably will try that if that's where they're at, you know?
Yeah. But what if they're not, though? What if it's somebody who isn't wanting to have it casual? Do you think you're just, if you're not bringing it up, they think it's like your duty to bring it up. And if you don't bring it up, they can't either. Like, so I don't know.
I guess they could if they wanted to. Yeah, but I guess, I don't know. But then at the same time, it's like such human psychology, right? If someone did bring it up too early, I feel like I would be the skittish one.
Sure.
I would be like, no, too much too fast. Like, I can't handle this. So, yeah. Right. It is a fine balance. And I think that's the biggest challenge of dating, is finding someone who is always on the same page as you, you know? Like, one person may be like, yeah, I'm really into this person, but, you know, I just want to take it slow for whatever reason. I've got other things, other priorities in my life. Sure. And the other person's like, no, I'm in it now. Let's do this thing. And it's like, yeah, but if you're not on the same page, even though you have the same feelings for one another, it's like the biggest challenge.
That's true. But anyway, hi.
Oh, God. Hey.
Hi.
Hey. I was like, oh, my gosh, could you stop saying hi?
It was hi and it's hey. Like, she couldn't. Just back and forth for
hi,
like
hey.
Minutes.
I know. I was like, you guys are not even saying anything right now.
No. And I thought, honestly, I thought she played it up a little bit too much, how hot she thought he was. Because.
Yeah.
He's an attractive guy, but he's not that attractive.
And I was going to say, she's prettier, too. She is. And so she's, she must have attracted better. Are
you
guys better.
Sure? Why didn't you tell me? You know, he looked like he wasn't that hot.
No, like, he wasn't. He's okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, maybe she's his type. But yeah, I definitely feel like she played that up because it's like, hey, look at my prize.
I won the best prize. I got the best number one prize out of all these. Yes, absolutely.
Right. Well, good for you, because, you know, if you like him, that's all that really matters. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if he's the least attractive guy. If he's the most attractive guy to you, good for you.
Right.
All right. I was wondering, how is it that Barnett got flowers to give to her, but flowers, no one else got any flowers? I thought that was really random.
I don't know if they, no. My guy Damien had one rose.
Oh, okay.
That's,
then how did Barnett get that whole
He got
bunch?
A whole big bouquet. I don't know. I'm sure they just wanted to, I don't know.
Yeah, because I doubt he went out and bought them.
Oh, no.
If you're,
of
like, kind
of
trapped
not.
There on
of
the set.
Of course he did not,
yeah.
No. I mean, it was a little cute how he came back and, like, ran and, like, forgot to give them to her and, like, ran back and, like, snuck them in. And I don't know. He did a move that I often do where you kind of do this thing where you, like, kind of step at the door and, like, reach your arm out and be like, as you run away. I do that move a lot.
Okay. So like fashion that. Note, did you notice, and I wouldn't be surprised if you didn't because I almost missed it as well, his lime green cowboy boots?
Ooh,
the fuck?
No. With a plaid tie? Because he was wearing a plaid. I noticed his plaid tie.
Oh, God. So he was wearing, like, just, they look like brown kind of dingy dress shoes. And I shouldn't say dingy, like that distressed look where it's, like, not just a solid color, like worn leather kind of. And I didn't even really look the shape of a cowboy boot, really.
Mm-hmm.
But then when he was sitting on the couch and he had his legs kind of like crossed or whatever, or was his leg up, you could see that it was attached to a boot that was like lime green pattern. And I was like, ah,
yeah.
He has weird fashion.
I was too focused on her like dress and how it was like keeping her boobs in because it was cut all the way down.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, those are super fake. And so if they're freshly done, they don't really need much help to stay,
to
in,
stay
place,
in place,
you know?
I guess that
just
makes
is.
Sense. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. So I don't think the dress was helping her out. I feel like it was of her own boobs volition at that point.
Right. Okay.
All right. Who do you have next?
All right. So let's go with, because this is my other team that didn't see each other yet.
Yes.
So. And we started with them. So we start off with Mark and Jessica. We start off with Mark in the conversation you talked about in Barnett's segment.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking in the men's green room. After this, Mark's main takeaway from this conversation is that he doesn't want to be wishy-washy in the same way Barnett is. So that's pretty fortunate for Mark because for him, it's always been Jessica or bust. So he walks into the pod to his proposal. And he gives a really energetic, he's bouncing around the room, really energetic, but pretty boilerplate proposal. And Jessica's response is just to cry inaudibly for a really long time. Like, a really long enough that Mark has to go, hello? To make sure that she didn't leave the pod when he proposed. So eventually she gathers her breath and says, yes, of course. Now, in the interviews, Mark seems on cloud nine that Jessica said yes. And Jessica can't believe that she's engaged after 20 years of pushing off commitment, which if you do the math, means that she started pushing off commitment when she was 14. She sweeps her behavior from last week under the rug of, I tried to push him away because that's what I do. So the next time we see them, it's time for the reveal. When the door opens, Jessica takes a minute before she can even bring herself to look up. She's like looking at the floor. But then they walk right at each other and hug in the middle. For a few minutes, they just kind of like hug each other and say cuss words. Like they're like, oh my God, shit, oh fuck. Just like whispering cuss words to each other for some reason. But eventually Mark gets on one knee to propose in person. And Jessica tells us that there was zero awkwardness and that she was instantly attracted to him. And I'm putting that in heavy quotes. It's because after that, we are in Mexico, where Jessica went without telling anybody in her family, apparently. Mark seems to be really excited to sleep with Jessica in his opening interviews. He says that his love life before has been all passion and no emotional connection, so that having the emotional connection before the physical intimacy is making him kind of like a virgin again, which I think we're going to unpack in a little bit. So for her side, Jessica is having trouble meshing Mark's looks with the personality that she got to know in the pods. She says she typically goes for bigger guys. She tells Mark that she's not ready for sex yet, and Mark, not being 100% asshole, kind of feigns enthusiasm for this arrangement and going along with this idea, but he seems pretty clearly disappointed. And then that's where we leave him. So my question is, if Jessica had to put them on the standard 1 to 10 hotness scale, where does Jessica put Mark and where does Jessica put herself?
Okay, well, Jessica clearly would give herself like an 8 or a 9.
I agree.
And yeah. I think just based on how her reaction to seeing him and on, Mark is maybe a 3 or a 4 possibly in her world. Because I was just like, I feel like she wasn't even that into him by the time he had proposed.
Right.
Like her little crying behind the couch for like ever. It was like, she didn't seem happy at all. Like when everything is happening, she doesn't seem happy. In the interview, I don't know, because it's like such a difference, mm-hmm. the interview just seems really fake to me. Like she can fake, like, because she, you know, she has time to compose herself and it's not like a in the moment reaction.
Yes.
She's just like, oh, I'm so happy. Like I could never be happier. But then you see her acting out like real life and you're just like, you don't
seem happy. Yeah.
No, you don't seem happy at all. So I feel like already in her mind, she's like, well, I guess this is the guy. Like he's the only option I have left. So I guess I'll say yes. We'll just see how it goes. And so then when she actually sees him, it was like she did not look happy about seeing him. She like had her eyes closed mm-hmm. or she was like burying her face in his like neck. And she looked like she didn't even want to see him.
She didn't
want to check him out.
Yeah, you're right. All the other ones we talked about Giannina at the beginning, but Amber too.
Yes.
They kind of like step out, was like, let me look at you. Like they separated and was like, look. Like, and she didn't do that.
Jessica
right.
was like, nope, I don't even want to look at you.
I don't want to look at you. And he was like, is it the beard? And she was like, no, that's fine.
Right. So I just feel like she just mentally, and I feel like that's why it took her so long to say yes to the proposal. Mm-hmm. It was like she was mentally like just accepting her situation.
Yes.
And so once she decided, okay, I'm going to mentally accept this situation, it was like she's just at that point going through the motions. But I don't think she was like really happy.
No. I mean, I definitely got the vibe that she said yes so she could stay on the show.
Yeah, very true.
Like if she said no, there was no more show for her. She wasn't going to go to Mexico.
That's true. Because I was going to say, but kind of going back, does she have motivation for being on the show? Like what does she do?
I'm not sure what her job was.
I think she was like a PR person or something.
Yeah, but there's always people who, once they get to, they might not have had grand plans beforehand, but once they're on TV, they're like, I better make the most of it. In order to make the most of it, right. I gotta stay on TV. Who knows what I can do
after
that.
As far as I know, she's not trying to be like an influencer of any kind. Mm-hmm. So I don't I agree with you. She's just doing it because she feels some kind of obligation. She wants to stay on the show. But I can't think of what the motivation of staying on the show would be at this point. Maybe that she gets paid more per episode.
She might.
We've seen things like that.
I mean, it also just could be guilt for, you know, she told Mark, you know, what she did to Mark last week. She kind of came back to him and was like, oh, no, it's over. It's you. And then he proposed. And she was like, oh, so it's either this relationship ends now or we get engaged now. Those are the two options at this point.
Yeah.
Because the whole setup is not, I'm not ready yet. Let's talk about it later. Let's date for a little bit longer. That's not how the show works. That's not how the situation she's in works.
Mr. O, what does a 24-year-old look like?
I don't know. I had to Google it.
What came up?
I'm not sure. Taylor Swift, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I was just thinking that because of her album. I was like, that's an odd question. And I feel like whoever you asked was probably like, what?
What do you mean?
On?
Yeah, you've seen.
What do you mean? What does 20? It looks like you, but younger.
Yeah, you were 24. It's a weird question because some 24-year-olds look really old and some 24-year-olds do not.
That's true. My first year teaching, I had this one student. He was 18. And to me, he looked 30 because he had like, he was kind of like stocky. He was like kind of a football player type. Mm-hmm. He was super hairy. He had like super hairy arms, super hairy legs. And he always wore like, he actually dressed kind of like dad style too, with like the cargo khakis and like a t-shirt all the time. And so he had like the hairy legs and he had like a balding spot and just like, just he was like red and puffy and he looked like 30 at 18.
I had a student like that who was actually in 10th grade. And he like walked, he was coming to walk into my room. I was like, hold up, wait, like on the first day of school. I was like, hold up, wait. He was like, no, that's my name. I know, I'm only in 10th grade. I know. He's like, I know I look like I'm 24. I am only in 10th. Of course, that was like 10 years ago and now he looks exactly the same.
Right. Oh, he looks his age now.
Yeah. So yeah, he just didn't. That. So it fits now, but he just like, he was like, eh. He probably didn't have any trouble getting beer when he was like 19. So.
Oh, probably not. Yeah, but Marky looks his age, I guess, but I don't know. I feel like there is kind of a weird, like, range where you're right. Some people look a little bit older and they kind of grow into it and they kind of look the same, because I definitely feel like that was me. Like, there was a good 10 years there where I kind of looked exactly the same.
Sure.
And then I started to age. But, you know, it's like at the beginning of that 10-year range, I looked really young. Mm-hmm. And then, like, by the end of it, it was like, yeah, I just kind of grew into how I was supposed to look, I guess.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a big range. Just like there's a big range at 34. I'm sure she's dated. But I got the impression that she has been almost exclusively dating older men, too. So it's like, so not only is he 10 years younger than her, he might be 20 years younger than the men she's used to dating. So it's
right.
That's very different.
Yeah, that's probably why she keeps on mentioning that too. Mm-hmm. So why does he keep on hauling his guitar everywhere?
He hasn't used it at all. I mean,
yeah.
I'm waiting for it to come out. I keep seeing it in his
like, I'm thankful it hasn't come out.
I guess it's like Chekhov's gun. I'm waiting for it to go off. I'm just waiting.
Oh, God.
They keep showing the guitar. Eventually he has to play it, right?
I know. It's so weird. So what she does say about his looks is that she's disappointed that Mark isn't bigger. And it's like, what do you mean by that? Because she kind of did like the side to side bigger. And it's like, you want him to be fatter?
Taller.
I feel like up or down bigger. Like, I do think she wants him to be taller.
I think she dates more muscular men. Like, bigger. Like chest, you know,
and maybe
big
she
chest,
was,
big
yeah.
arms. Like bigger.
Yeah. And maybe she was envisioning that. Because if I heard you're a personal trainer, I would think you were probably bigger as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's probably why in the pod she's like, ooh, this guy, he's a personal trainer.
Right. You think people who do like weight training, not people who do like marathon training. Like they, you told me, depending on what kind of training you told me you did, we do circuit training. I'd be like, maybe not so giant. Weight training.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd think, I don't know. I feel like most personal trainers, I'm trying to think of a man. Yeah, it's a range. It's a range just like anything else. Everybody, they're usually good shape, but some of them are leaner. Some of them are more muscular. It depends on what it is their specialty is.
Yeah. So I just, I kind of didn't like, but I understand where she's coming from, how she up front was like, we're not having sex. I don't feel comfortable. I think it really kind of ruined the mood, because it just seemed like so, you know, like, here are some rules. Here, you know, and it's just not romantic at all. And their first night is supposed to be romantic. And I get it, because she just wants to not feel pressured in the moment. So she's putting it up front. I get the reason why, but it just seems like, I don't know. He just seems so disappointed. And
he did.
I feel like
because he was kind of starting already. He was like, I think I'm going to go shirtless. That's right. Mm-hmm. Like,
and she's like, listen.
Yeah, hold on. We're going to nip this in the bud right now. Right.
Right.
But that is not a romantic way to start the evening. Be like, let's get some dinner.
Not.
By the way, you're not getting laid. Like, thanks.
Yeah.
Like, if it was a regular date, I'd be like, oh, okay, I'm leaving now. Not because I expected to have sex at the end of this date.
Right.
But because, like, that's where you went right away as to, let me tell you what's not going to happen. Like, okay, let's get the check.
Yeah. Cause it's like it comes off as like a rejection already.
Yes.
And it's like, I don't feel like that's how you should start things. Mm-hmm. And even if like, that's how you feel. And once again, I 100% respect that she feels that way, especially if it's like a situation, like it appears where she doesn't even seem that into him, but I don't know. It just seemed kind of mean. to say that.
Yeah.
To reject him before anything has even happened.
Yeah.
He wanted to take off his shirt. Big deal.
Yeah. He tried to... I thought he did a decent job saying the right thing, but you could just feel the disappointment in his face, being like, well, I don't want to pressure you or anything you don't want to do, obviously. Okay. So, yeah, we'll get there eventually.
Oh, so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Speaking of, he says he's like a virgin. I'm like,
what sure was Jan. That? And hey, okay. I thought that. First, I feel like a virgin again, which is because who wants to have sex with a man virgin? Like, that's the, isn't that what's, everybody's worst sex, right? That's the worst sex imaginable. It's with a virgin God, right?
I guess so. I don't know.
Well, that's the stereotype, is it's just, you know, done quickly and not very good and awkward. And, why would you want that? Why would you want to sell yourself as that? Jeez.
Also, I find her baby voice really annoying. Because in the interview, she talks one way, and then when she's talking to the guy, she's like,
I mean, she has, like, the... I know a lot of people get really bothered by the vocal fry, you know, the creaky voice, which doesn't bother me even a little bit. She has a lot of that. But you're right. Yeah. Her voice is notably softer and higher pitched when she's talking to guys than when she's talking to the interviews.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Moving on. I'm going to... Kenny and Kelly.
That makes sense.
They were like barely in this.
Yeah, we're gonna catch the two people who are barely in it next, and then we'll end with some fireworks.
I know, right? Yeah. So we see Kenny and Kelly in their room in Mexico. Kelly doesn't want to rush into anything, so she doesn't want to sleep with Kenny right away. She envisions a night of cuddling and making out and talking. She's really attracted to Kenny, and he's a good kisser, so she believes that sex will be good when it happens. Kenny says that he told himself he would accept Kelly before he saw her, no matter what. But luckily for him, he is very attracted to Kelly. They seem to be on the same page because he envisions their first night as cuddly and kissy. That was pretty much
that
it. Because they're two interviews.
At least they were on the same page.
Right, exactly. But my question to you is, why do you think Kenny and Kelly were picked to be one of the featured couples at all? Because we know... like big picture that there were more couples that actually got engaged, and because production didn't have the money to film all of the couples, they picked these six that were going over. So given that Kenny and Kelly, their segment was super boring, it wasn't even with the two of them, why on earth do you think that they were picked to be a feature couple?
Why them specifically, I don't know, but I think they're there as a control group. Like, this is the way normal people would probably behave. So let's show them here just to give us a contrast with some of the other couples and give us a palate cleanser between some of the just, you know, craziness that goes on.
Well, would you think that Lauren and Cameron are kind of like a control couple in that way?
A little bit, yes. So I feel like there's kind of two control couples, but I think Lauren and Cameron are just too likable. Like, and so they don't serve as a control because they're just like two things. They're both, I don't know if I wouldn't say they're too hot, but like, you know, it's
they are really likable.
They're just, and so they don't work as a palate cleanser, like nothing. Like, you need that nothing group to be like, oh, that's what a normal relationship is. There's still a little awkwardness. There's not like these camera ready, two camera ready people. Cameron and Lauren are both very camera ready people.
Yeah, definitely. So I guess, like, thinking of them as a featured couple, what kind of potential drama could they possibly have? I mean, she's definitely said stuff about her insecurity of her weight.
Right.
But he hasn't said anything about anything, like, to make it seem like he would be someone who
would cross any kind of lines would care or would say anything. Right. Yeah, that's...
And for the record, she's not even a little chubby.
No.
It's like definitely in her head, this is like definitely the ghost of fat kid past, you know?
Sure. Where
it's like she just remembers what it was like.
Yeah, I almost...
To struggle with her weight.
Yeah, because it especially because he seems okay with, you know, putting off sex for however long, right? So it's not like you're going to have that kind of drama, but it's just your, you know, nothing else that other people wouldn't have. They just decide that they're maybe not as compatible as they thought they were. But mm-hmm. they would both be really cool about breaking up. Like, they would have a amicable... But I feel like even if they broke up while they were here, it wouldn't be a blow-up thing. It'd just be like, oh, this isn't really working, is it? No, I don't think it is. Well, maybe right. they... And they would be like, oh, okay, well, you know, we gave it a try. Nice to see you. Keep in touch.
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't even be that kind of drama.
Yeah, they're just not very interesting couple. Mm-mm. So... I mean, they're a cute couple,
yeah.
but I mean, not particularly interesting or dramatic. It does, considering what you kind of hear about, you know, behind the scenes, apparently there was a love triangle situation that involved Rory,
mm-hmm.
Our student of the week, consistently the last 2 weeks. So it's kind of like, I feel like that would have been more interesting. How'd you pick this bland old couple?
Yeah,
I mean... But life goals, to be the bland couple, right?
That is. Yeah. Just be the boring couple that nobody wants to talk about. Like, that's
yeah,
that's what you want. But anyway, so speaking of more boring couples, Cam and Lauren. So we only see Cameron and Lauren in one scene in their hotel room in Cancun. And honestly, it starts out a little awkward. They both mm-hmm. seem really physically attracted to each other. And they talk about how tricky it can be to add the physical part of a relationship that already has an emotional connection, which is basically the same thing every couple says in the show. And Cameron is trying really hard to come on to Lauren, but not come off too creepy. And by trying to not come off as creepy, he kind of comes off as more creepy than he would have otherwise.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's here or there. We see them getting ready for bed in their hotel rooms. And Lauren tells Cameron about his chest hair and how she was worried that it was going to be poofier. And she's like, it's not too bad. It's not too bad. It's not as bad as she had feared. So eventually, you know, in an interview, she kind of admits that what she really wants is to jump his bones. And so they kind of get into the bedroom. He throws her onto the bed. And then they start making out and they kind of fade out to the do not disturb sign in the hotel room. So
nice.
I couldn't even, there was little enough that happened that I couldn't even really come up with the question.
Like, what happened? How about my stance on the chest hair? Because tell you right now, not into it. So as much as Cameron's my guy, you know, like, okay, first of all, she said that she was going to picture it worse.
Mm-hmm.
How? It was pretty bad. Like, he has a lot of chest hair.
Okay, here's my issue with Cameron's chest hair.
Yeah.
He shaves a line on his stomach.
I don't think he does, do you?
100% does. The chest hair is kind of natural, right?
I feel like I've seen guys with that pattern. I don't know if they've shaved
not
the
that
sides.
Straight. Not if it's
yeah,
a,
that's
it was
true.
So straight. I was like, that is shaved that way.
That's so weird. Why would you take the time to shave the sides but not all of it? Or at least trim it down.
I don't know because
I don't know. I'm not into it.
I'm
not saying it should be bare or it needs to be bare, but like a trim, you know,
sure.
Like,
I mean,
let's put a 2 clip or something.
A 2 is really big. Let me think.
Is it?
Wait,
okay.
No.
Maybe a 1?
No.
Two
is
2
fine.
Inches,
no,
right?
Two, no. You don't want, trust two? Me, you do not want 2 inches. A 2, each number on the guard
uh-huh.
is a quarter.
Oh, yes. Teach me.
Is a quarter. Each number on the guard is a quarter inch. So a
okay,
1.
Okay, yeah. So a 2 would be fine.
A 2 is a half inch. So 2 is.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
I'm okay
one thing
with
is
that.
If you haven't done that before, okay,
mm-hmm.
it's actually really itchy because your hair is on the shirt and it's not like
yeah.
sticking out kind of because you don't want, because
yeah.
the other thing you don't want, it depends on the guy's hair. You don't want chest hair that sticks straight out.
Yeah, I actually,
you don't want
yeah.
porcupine like poking
right,
you chest
it is
hair.
Like that. Mm-hmm.
You don't want that. So I think I usually go with a 3 on the chest hair.
A 3?
Yeah, 3. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Nah. I mean, just because I have no concept of length, but yeah.
Yeah,
this
the two,
just like
the, when you go 2, it starts to just
too
get
much.
Some hairs that just stick straight out. And it's like, you don't want that.
Yeah.
You don't want that at all. But I don't get
Fair.
I don't get the happy trail that he had down the middle.
No, like, that was so bizarre.
Just, that should just be gone completely. Just all the way gone.
Yeah. Sorry, Cameron. Everything else about you is fine. Our one area of growth.
Right. Well, that's too much growth is what the problem is.
Yes. Figuring out your chest hair.
Yeah.
I thought they were like really cute. Like it was funny that Lauren said that it's really hard not to be a creep. And it's like, well, you know, and I feel like that's what makes them so likable and relatable. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like they're trying to express that they're into the other person.
without coming on too strong, right? Without making them uncomfortable.
And they're trying to put a little bit of humor into it just because it may be kind of awkward and like you're kind of unsure because, you know, it's like, it's they're both new to each other, you know? And so you try to lighten the mood,
right?
You know, by throwing in these jokes.
And it is a really weird situation because there's other people that are, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that, I'd say not them necessarily, but it's not totally unusual for people to have sex with someone they met for the first time that day. That's not that's not all that weird. But that's because you were attracted to them physically first, and that was the physical thing was the connection. And it becomes a lot easier that way because rather than the emotional part and the personality part being the connection, and now you're supposed to kind of work up this physical attractiveness.
Yeah, because I guess I could kind of see maybe like some people that have that problem of moving towards like, you know, you have a best friend that could potentially be a partner.
Yeah.
And it's like you know so much about that person.
Right.
But I know some people have a hard time getting over that hurdle of, but this is like my best friend and now I'm supposed to be physical with them.
Right.
And so it could be something similar where it's like, oh, you're like my best friend. I know some deep things about you. But to go get over that hurdle of, okay, but now I'm supposed to be like physical with you. Now, like that might be a little
now
weird.
Now we have to kiss and where do I touch you? And I don't like, where do I put my
hands? I feel like
hands?
There's going to be a lot of nervous giggling happening.
Yes. Which if it works out, can work out fine. But
Yeah, definitely. All right. So last up we have is Carlton and Diamond. So they are in their room popping bubbly. Carlton asks Diamond, could she imagine being a strawberry dipper, which reinforces the fact that he says whatever the hell comes to his mind. And Diamond says that she likes that about him. But then he keeps calling Diamond crazy for apparently no reason and further insults her by saying it's lucky for her that she's so pretty. She tells him to watch his words, and he tells her just to chill out. Diamond then says in her interview that Carlton is definitely giving off different energy than when they were in the pods. She just chalks it up to nervousness. They continue to tease each other, and Diamond makes some offhanded comment about how if they walk down the aisle, and then Carlton tells her, oh no, we are walking down the aisle. Things get serious when Carlton asks her why she wouldn't be sure, and Diamond says that they have to live with one another to really test out their relationship. Carlton then says in his interview he has to tell Diamond about his sexuality, but he's worried about how he will tell her because he acknowledges that the revelation could be catastrophic if done incorrectly. Diamond says that he sounds like he's trying to start something, so she excuses herself to the pool. Later, we see Diamond and Carlton talking out by the pool, where Diamond confronts Carlton's behavior and says that she feels like something is bothering him, and he has energy like something is wrong. She is feeling hurt and confusion. He clearly has tears in his eyes and he's being standoffish. He's shocked that Diamond noticed that something was wrong. And he is convinced that she's so intuitive because she's brought it to his attention. He tells her that he didn't think a woman as perfect and beautiful as her would be with him because women in the past have abandoned him. She says not to worry, and he says he has a lot to worry about because she has no idea that she could leave him at any moment because he hasn't opened up. He front loads and tells her that he doesn't think she'll want him after the information he is about to tell her. He says in the past he's dated both genders. Her eyes widen momentarily, but she doesn't really say anything. He keeps rambling on about how she is the love of his life. She pauses and asks how does he know. Does he think he'll ever want to be with a man? And he emphatically expresses no. He said that it's a misconception about men like him who are honest. He loves people for who they are. She looks like she's about to cry, but she says she's listening to him and it's a lot to take in. He immediately starts to get upset, turns his back to her, yells out, fuck, and throws his hat out of frustration. This causes Diamond to reach out and rub his back while not quite knowing what to say. Diamond is crying too, and she says in an interview that she just wasn't prepared for that news. Carlton tells her that he may be alone in the world, but he can never be accused of being dishonest. He says he's not a hider or a deceiver. She says she just needs time to think about it, and he's thrown a curveball. She gets up to make an awkward exit as Carl says, "We'll just go." Okay, so if at this point, if you're Diamond, are you walking away from the relationship?
Okay. No. Nah, I don't know. It needs time. Because, first of all, if I'm Diamond, I'm not walking away because he used to date other men.
Right.
That's neither here nor there. I'm walking away because he threw a weird, scary, almost violent temper tantrum. Yeah. And because he suggested I wear a hat that says "Do not fucking touch" as a joke, like what, like the way he acted in the hotel room and the weird temper tantrum he threw because she didn't know what to say. Those two were the red flags. What he actually said,
absolutely
not at all.
Right. So I think like I 100% would walk away from this relationship at this point. And once again, not because of the news he gave, but like. He was definitely trying to start shit in the room.
Yep.
And he's like kept on calling her crazy. And it's just like out of nowhere. It was so obvious that he was picking a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I cannot deal with that. Like, I cannot deal with people just being like children. You know, it's like just confront what it is that you have an issue with and don't cause all this other drama to kind of distract from really what the issue is at hand.
Yeah, I don't know. It seemed like once he saw Diamond, he thought he was a different kind of girl than she was when she was in the pods, right? Mm-hmm. And that he thought, oh, this is a girl that likes player stuff, like that stuff where you insult them, tell them they're crazy, and you better be lucky she's pretty, and flirt in this weirdly, like, you know, weirdly insulting way.
It was really
And that kind of leaning back in the chair, like he kept doing with his hat on backwards, a hat that said daddy on it. It was weird. He was being really, really weird and gross.
Right. I didn't like it at all. You don't call people crazy, especially if you truly believe they're crazy. That's like the worst thing you can do.
Right.
You know? So obviously he doesn't think she's crazy, but it's like, what are you accomplishing by calling someone crazy? You're like out to start a fight.
Yeah. And it's one thing if you're like, I don't know. I've definitely seen people who like playfully – you know, have their little, I would say, you know, for lack of a better term, like when guys do it, we call it busting each other's balls, right? You're not obviously not busting her balls, but that's a kind of playful, like insulting, like running jokes that you have going on. But that kind of develops over like years of getting to know each other.
Right.
And years of this, not this just is day starting one. Out on day one being like, you crazy girl. Like, what?
Yeah. And it didn't even seem like it was really playful because even she was just like, you know, she was like, don't talk to me like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was like, watch your words. But like,
yeah, that's not okay. I mean, she definitely tried to set boundaries and like tell him that she didn't think it was okay that he kept on calling her crazy, which once again came out of nowhere because there is nothing she has done at this point that is even like the little bit of semblance of being crazy.
No, no. I mean, because he started off, you know me, he started off bad. He popped the champagne cork off the balcony. So I mean, somebody else has to pick it up. It might land on somebody's head. Oh, but
right. Your favorite thing, of course.
Okay. Yeah. But I don't know, the confession, it just, he went so fast from like, I'm trying to be vulnerable to like scary, like legit scary.
Yeah. Right. Like even when... Okay, so she said, I was kind of like, on the timeline of this. So she decides, okay, well, I'm going out to the pool. And it definitely seemed like she was trying to walk away from him. Because she said, like, you're trying to start something, so I'm just going to head to the pool. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, she told him where she was going to be. But to me, I would interpret that as she just needs space from you. Uh-huh. She's trying to process what an asshole you're being.
Yes.
For like out of the random blue. Mm-hmm. And so then all of a sudden they're there together and now hashing out what is happening. It's like, that's not giving her space.
No.
It's like the opposite.
No, but it did. I mean, she was pretty right in that she's like, I think he's being an asshole because there's something's bothering him.
Something.
He's nervous about something. Like that's, and that's his defense mechanism. Like
most people would think there was something wrong. And that's why I thought it was like hilarious that Carlton is like, oh my God, she knew something was wrong. She knows my soul. It's like, does she? Because I feel like everybody knew there was something wrong.
You would think that,
or you're an asshole. So
Guys are just not as emotionally intelligent as women tend to be. which is why we miss, you know, guys miss signs all the time. You know this.
Yeah. But it's just like, okay, sure. She knows your soul. Guess what? So does everyone else who saw that coming.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know. And she, I mean, it. Yeah, I mean, I thought she handled it not as good as she could have because I don't know what he wanted her to do.
I don't know either. And that's what, from that perspective, I don't know if the average person would have handled it any better. Like, what would that have looked like in an ideal world? Okay. Like, if he was to, like, if Carlton, from his perspective, like, consider this a successful confession.
Mm-hmm.
What would that have looked like to him?
I mean, I know how. I don't know. I can't say I know how. I imagine how I would, you know, receive that. And it's different culturally, definitely.
Sure.
For a woman to say that to her boyfriend and a man to say that to her girlfriend. I'm not saying that's right, but that's culturally kind of the way it is. If I had a girlfriend that said, oh, I used to date both genders, I'd be like, oh, okay. That's it. I think the words he was looking for were, that's it. If she said anything besides, oh, that's it, or, oh, that's fine, like, I have no problem with that, why did you even tell me? Like, any kind of processing on her part, obviously, was too much for him to handle.
Yeah. I think he also didn't like the fact that she had asked, you know, if in the future he would maybe want to date a man again.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I feel like... So you were saying she could have handled it better. And I would say that, yeah, she probably could have been like, oh, it doesn't matter, baby. Like, you know, whatever. It doesn't change how I feel about you. Because I think that would be the ideal,
right,
like, reaction. And you're right. No process time. But it's like, that is kind of significant. Who's not going to have process time? And who's not going to immediately think of the same question that Diamond came up
right.
with?
Right. Because the question isn't, and I know what he's trying to say, and he's not wrong about my understanding of people who are bi or pansexual or whatever, is it they're just attracted to people and not to parts.
Sure.
Right? But at some point you'd be like, but if you are attracted to both parts, it's really hard for somebody who is not that, who is either heterosexual, mm-hmm. homosexual, just be like, yeah, I really like this thing. Like, and if you tell me you like both things, and I'm telling you, you're okay with just having one for the rest of your life. Like, that's okay with you, right? Because I like chocolate and vanilla ice cream, both. That doesn't mean I sometimes like chocolate and then I'm okay with sticking with chocolate for the rest of my life. Sometimes I might want vanilla again. Like, I get where that – and I understand both their perspectives. Now, what it really ends up being like, I'm definitely going to trust the person that, you know, whose sexuality it is. I'm going to trust what Carlton says about it. But it does seem like a legit question and a legit concern and not something that he has to jump all over her for.
Right. I think maybe the way she could have phrased it, that would have been, I don't know, in a way that he didn't interpret it that way, mm-hmm. is, you know, are you going to be okay being committed to just me for the rest of your life?
Right. Yeah.
Because then it really comes down to the person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I think that's like a fair question no matter what kind of relationship you're in. I mean, that's always a question, an underlying question whenever people make like serious commitments to one another is, can you stay committed to this one person for the rest of your life like you're promising? And so I feel like if she phrased it like that, she could have got the answer she wanted,
right?
But in a context where he didn't feel like it was because of how he is.
Because it's not significantly different
than
asking, than being concerned, are you sure you're just not going to 5 years down the road want another woman?
Right.
Like,
yeah,
that is a legit concern for everybody. Yeah.
But I really can't stand it when guys have this impression of women as being the crazy ones. And I'm not saying that women don't act crazy sometimes, but I have a personal theory on that. When women act crazy, like men mm-hmm. think women act crazy, I really truly believe that it stems from like insecurity of where you stand in the relationship. And so if a woman is acting crazy, it's because the man is making her feel insecure about her place. And so I don't feel it's fair to put it on someone else by saying, oh, yeah, I keep on attracting crazy women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I keep on dating crazies. It's like, well, one, common denominator, you.
Right.
And two, Is it possible that you're not treating them in a way that makes them feel safe and secure in their relationship? And so they start doing these crazy things because they have these feelings of jealousy. Sure. And feeling like abandonment, mm-hmm. you know, and those feelings are going to cause you to do things to make you feel better in that moment. And sometimes those things could be irrational.
Sure. I think men oftentimes kind of misinterpret, but they you know, kind of think that women are a certain way, especially mm-hmm. when you talk about emotional or crazy, because men just don't consider anger to be an emotion. And so they think if they freak out and they get mad and they yell and holler, they're not emotional. It's like, yeah, you're being super emotional. He was being super emotional when he yelled mm-hmm. fuck and threw his hat. Like, that's...
Oh, yeah. And, it was scary.
And also crazy. Like, anything she did that was crazy. And, you know, it's just so many times is men respond to insecurity. Men respond to, you know, jealousy. Men respond to all kinds of stuff with anger. And so they mm-hmm. interpret, like, any other response that's not anger, or even if it is anger... But any other response, like, you know, instead of doing that, being clingy or being sad or being things as being crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So I totally get, but it's definitely not a one-sided street. It does drive me nuts when, you know, guys who are lose their emotional control on a snap like that are calling women crazy. Like, no.
Right. okay. So student of the week.
All right. My student of the week was Lauren. I don't know, just for being into Cameron, right? Like, I don't mm-hmm. know. It just seems like if you're going to be engaged to somebody, and I understand, and I'm not saying the people are making the wrong decisions, but it seems like if you're going to be engaged to somebody and you're going to take, you should kind of be ready to have sex with them. and she was also diffusing Cameron being a little bit creepy and, like, not just diffusing it, but calling out. She's like, you're nervous and you're being a little creepy. And kind of, you know, making that whole... I thought the way she handled everything made their whole little hotel scene a lot less awkward than it could have been.
Right. Not like Giannina and Damien.
Right. Right.
Where she was clearly being creepy and he's just like, ah. Okay. So my student of the week was Diamond. And it's for recognizing Carlton was being an ass and picking a fight in the room. And so she, I felt like, had a very healthy... way of dealing with it, which was kind of telling him, like, putting him on notice, you know, like, hey, you shouldn't be talking to me like that, and I'm going to take a walk. Mm-hmm. Like, I need some space. So, yep.
All right. Class dunce?
My dunce was Jessica for clearly going along with this whole thing when it seems pretty obvious that she's just not into it.
Yeah, I also picked Jessica, and it was because, like, I feel like the whole point of the, well, they keep calling it day six of experiment, right? The whole point of the experiment was, can you fall in love with somebody despite what they look like? And you know, will it survive? And for her, the answer is no, she cannot.
Yeah, which is fine.
But she's trying to cover it up like it isn't. And she's just like, I'm just really not that into him. Like, and I kind of want somebody to do that. You know, to be like, oh, yeah, we were really emotionally connected, but now that I see him, I don't know. It just doesn't work. Like, so, yeah.
Right. And once again, there's nothing wrong with that. What about your life lesson?
All right. Also aimed at Jessica. When you follow a random camera crew into a foreign country, somebody in your family or a friend or somebody should know that you're there. She said at the beginning, nobody in my family knows that I'm here. Like, what? Don't know. Somebody should have a copy
of
your passport.
I feel like they're not allowed, though.
So, I'm not. Who has my passport copy? Like, somebody has to know that I'm not in the country.
I don't know. All right. So, my life lesson was kind of inspired from LC. So being the fun, carefree girl is fine, especially if that's who you are. But you shouldn't be afraid to talk about serious things. And if it scares someone off, it means that they're not ready to be serious with you. And at least you know now.
Sounds good.
Yep. So in this next episode, what's kind of funny about this being on Netflix is they don't really have a coming up kind of thing.
Yeah.
They just jump right into it. Mm-hmm. But I think the next episode is where they finally see
the other couples.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I think everybody, it was their first night, Like they got there in the evening. It was like almost dark out, and then it was dark out. Like so, it was they got there almost at sunset, and just that was just the night.
Yeah. So I think they have like their get together, their confrontation next week.
Nice. Okay.
Well, I guess for us,
you know, next week
releasing SLV next week.
Yeah. Right. That's a network thing.
So we will see you all next week then.
Uh huh. All right.
Okay. Bye.